The post-COVID Australian workforce is burnt out and exhausted. As workers return to the office post-pandemic, many employees report high stress levels. They feel fatigued and overexerted. Indeed, 33% of workers between 25 and 55 years old are thinking about quitting. And recent research suggests that commuting to work, the high cost of living, noisy offices, toxic work culture, unnecessary interruptions, lack of independence, and even irritating co-workers could all contribute to feeling stressed and burnt out at work. Many want more work-from-home opportunities, with over 50% preferring flexible and hybrid work options. So how might going back to the office be increasing employee stress? To discuss this, I'm joined by Dr. Libby Sander, Assistant Professor of Organisational Behaviour at Bond University. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning, Alan.
So what's happening here? Why are employees so stressed at work right now?
Look, there's a number of factors, but one thing that employees really loved about working from home was not being interrupted as much and having more flexibility in terms of, you know, controlling their work. And when they've gone back to the office, a lot of open plan offices are not well designed and they're very noisy. So we did some research that showed that has a big impact on your mood and your stress, but there are also other factors like commuting. Many people say that commuting is, you know, amongst the most stressful part of their day. We've got, as you said, toxic cultures, co-workers that are an issue. And yeah, so all of these factors are sort of combining to really make employees feel more stressed along with their workloads.
It's interesting. Like, I know many people enjoyed working from home, as you mentioned there. It works. Flexible working arrangements do work. My partner, she works from home 2 to 3 days a week. She gets far less interruptions. Why don't we do this more?
Look, I don't know. The real mindset, I think, that has to shift is this idea that you have to be in the office to be productive, that the way that a manager might work and that is preferable for them is the way that everybody works best and the way that everybody should work. And so we saw with the pandemic that it accelerated this change that we could have done, you know, years ago. We had the technology, but we had this mindset. And I think that's still the biggest issue, because just because someone's in the office, it doesn't mean that they are productive. And look, when you look at the research on the things we've done around noise, but also interruptions, every time somebody gets interrupted, it takes them about 23 minutes to get back on task. And people are interrupted dozens and dozens of times a day.
Well, I'm lucky enough to have worked from home for most of my career as a web designer and web developer. So I've worked in my own home office for nearly 20 years, but I have ended up in office work spaces, having consulting and things like that. So I've stuck in offices for months on end. And I found, you really are disrupted all day, all throughout the day. You seem to be disrupted. And it takes a bit of time to get back to work. I still don't understand why these open office plans are even a thing. Who benefits from that?
Oh, that's a very long conversation.
Yeah, that's another day.
The original idea was that it would make everyone more collaborative, that they'd sort of have more impromptu conversations that would lead to better ideas and those sorts of things. And look, open plan offices can work, but most of them aren't well designed. They don't have good acoustics. And so what happens is when people can't focus and concentrate just to get their basic work done, then they actually become more withdrawn and even more hostile, and they just don't want to collaborate with other people because, you know, their cognitive resources are getting depleted, their emotional resources are getting depleted, and the result of that is increased stress and also errors, which undermine our performance. And so the impact of this from decades of research now has shown that just putting everyone together into one room in an open plan office doesn't lead to these outcomes that we thought.
I just don't see who benefits from it.
Really. Well, it saves space. It saves a lot of cost for employers in terms of real estate space, because then you don't need as much floor plan to fit as many people in.
So micromanagement is another issue you bring up in your article in The Conversation. Do you think that bosses actually trust their employees enough to get the job done?
They don't. And I think the problem is that, and we see this in the office as well, when you see new policies come in and sort of punitive measures, is that, you know, the very small percentage, then we manage to that instead of the overall workforce who is doing the right thing and who is productive and is doing a good job. And so the research shows that we shouldn't be monitoring our employees. If we don't trust them, if we don't have a positive work culture, then that's going to lead to a range of negative outcomes that a new study by the American Psychological Association found, that those who were subject to monitoring technology were 14% more stressed than those not monitored, and 42% of monitored employees said they were going to look for a new job within the next year, compared to with only 23% who weren't monitored. So, you know, no one likes the idea of just being watched at work all day.
No, and it's actually increasing. It's a practice that is increasing.
It is. Yeah, I heard of something at a conference just a couple of weeks ago I was speaking at, where Amazon were talking about how they had installed sentiment cameras, which basically are watching the workforce all day while you're in the office. So it supposedly doesn't identify your individual features or your voice, but it looks at things like, are you smiling and how much of the time are you frowning, which is just crazy to think about, because you could be frowning while you're just deeply concentrating, as many people do. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're not happy. And so they ended up not going ahead with these cameras because people said, hey, I don't think this is a great idea. But if we think about psychological safety in the office, which is so important for performance, you know, we've got these types of initiatives, swipe cards, monitoring when you're in the office. Mm-hmm. Then I've heard of another email program that analyzes the words you're using and whether or not you're stressed. It decides by the tone of your email and then sends you a message saying, you know, I think you should go for a walk today, or you might need to take some time out. And so I don't think that those type of initiatives are very helpful at all.
Wow, that's interesting. And then there's, on top of that, there's bosses monitoring computers, like laptop computers, when you are working from home.
Exactly. You know, we've seen with the you know, the videos, and are you blinking, are you still there? Look, a lot of modern knowledge work requires a range of different tasks. Unless you're just doing data entry all day, 8 hours a day, maybe you need to be sitting at your computer, but I don't think that's a very effective work design. You know, anyway, people don't work effectively when they don't feel trusted, they don't have autonomy. Autonomy is one of the key factors that leads to increased satisfaction with our jobs and to increased commitment to the organization. And we're not going to be able to achieve that if we aren't trusting our employees. So we should be focused on outcomes instead of, you know, the process. How many hours are you sitting at your desk? You know, it's just not the way forward in terms of how we're working.
When you say autonomy, what do you mean by autonomy at work?
So people having the freedom and choice to sort of decide and arrange their work in a way that allows them to work at their best. So that could be deciding to work at home for some of the time, doing tasks at a certain time of the day. So it's a freedom, I guess, in terms of how we're working, because not everybody works the same way. We all have different personalities. We have different work styles, and we have different jobs that we're actually doing. And so what we need to think about is, what's the type of physiological and psychological state I need for this task I'm working on right now? Is it something that's, you know, highly complex problem solving or analysis? Is it creative work? You know, is it a meeting? Is it routine admin work? Because all of these types of states require different spaces in order to allow us to be at our best. So this idea that we should just sit at the one desk all day to do all of our job really isn't helpful mentally for our performance, and it's not very good for us physically either.
I suppose it also, if you're being monitored, if you have lack of autonomy at work, it would feel like you're being micromanaged. And I guess nobody wants that.
They don't. It's not correlated, obviously, with positive outcomes for employees. And there seems to be a bit of a strange trend in some quarters to sort of want to go back to that of, you must be in the office 5 days a week. We're going to sort of micromanage everything you're doing. And companies should be managing based on outcomes, based on what are we producing that is of value to the organization and to the individual, rather than, you know, you could do it, attend a dozen meetings in a day, but have you produced anything of value in your job or for the organization? It's not the correct metric.
Commuting is another issue. People getting to work can be expensive, and another issue about the workplace.
Yeah, look, that was one of the things I think that we all immediately loved the most initially when we first had to work from home, even though the conditions weren't ideal at the time in terms of lockdown. But I don't know many people who like commuting. No. And research has shown that it's costing around $20 a day for Australians is the average cost of commuting.
That adds up.
That adds up. And in the US, it's actually gone up. Time spent commuting in 2022 increased by 239 hours, which was a 20% jump from the 2019 figures. Mm. So on top of that, a big meta-analysis of commuting showed that it adds to our stress, which is not surprising. So if we look at the objective measures of commuting, so how far we have to go, how long we have to spend doing it, that is correlated with stress. And so, and it's also a huge, we look at the environmental impacts, and it's just a waste of time. And people like to have that time back, which is what we found working from home, being able to either do more work, be more productive, not be so tired, save money, or actually attend to other commitments in terms of our life and our families.
Yeah, well, I mean, it takes an hour or so, or sometimes longer, to get to work. Most, even in Perth here, it's going to take at least half an hour to get anywhere, unless you work fairly close, which most people don't. And then that, most of that time would be stuck in traffic, and many people drive as well. And we all know how stressful driving down the freeway is. So that would add to your stress levels.
Absolutely. And that's what the research shows. It's stressful. It's expensive. By the time you get to the office, sometimes you're already in a bad mood. You're exhausted.
Yep.
Couldn't get a park. Before you started your day, you can't get a park.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not fun. Nobody likes that. Co-workers. So what, don't we like the people we work with? What are you saying there?
Well, we are social people, you know, beings, and we do need and like having other people around us. But I think it's, again, at work, we often don't have the choice of who we're around or the type of people who are in our team. And so that's something I hear consistently in my research a lot is, people who are just not considerate, especially in these open plan offices. So they eat really offensive smelling foods at their desk. They make loud sounds while eating is another common complaint. They have very animated personal phone calls. And then I heard about people who, this seems to be quite common, they go and work out at the gym or go for a run at lunchtime, and then they spend the rest of the day in their sweaty gym gear, which in Australia is not going to be great. But look, probably none of that is as bad as the most famous case I've heard of an annoying colleague was an employee in a research station in Antarctica who ended up stabbing their co-worker who persisted in telling him the endings of the books he was planning to read.
Got stabbed for spoiler alerts.
Got stabbed for that.
Wow. Okay. That can get quite
extreme.
Quite dangerous.
Quite extreme example of one. Yeah. Most of us obviously are not in that situation. But look, you know, that constant source of irritation. Mm. Again, it's an interruption if we can't concentrate. People have stand-up meetings next to our desk while we're trying to, you know, get a report done or meet a deadline. It all adds up to, you know, taking away our ability to work effectively.
Yeah, I guess all those things do add to the stress of just being at work and trying to get a good job done.
Exactly.
I think finally, in your article, you talked about well-designed workplaces, just workplace culture in general. How can we, get better at this?
So firstly, if we look at leadership and organisational culture, we have to have cultures that are healthy in an organisation, that have open communication, where conflict is not swept under the carpet, where performance issues are managed effectively and not ignored, because they obviously will not go away, as sometimes leaders think. They will actually get worse. But it's also making sure we have psychological safety, that we do have work arrangements that support autonomy and employee well-being. And, you know, finally, in terms of the office itself, it should suit the type of work and the type of people being done there. Acoustic treatment is very important, and not having just acres of open plan space with lots of desks. People just don't adapt well to that type of environment.